This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
We're Luna. And this is Gayotic.
Our podcast about absolutely nothing and yet everything, hosted by us homosexuals
who all share one brain cell.
Oh my god.
I'm Josette.
I'm Katie.
I'm Naomi.
The three of us have been in a band together for years. We've been friends for a decade, and we've been gay since the beginning of time.
Oh yes.
Wait, oh, can we just set up something up top?
Yeah.
I called all three of you a slur before we started rolling.
I was gonna say
it's a great slur. Game for the listener at home.
It does.
Which is that you have to guess what I called them, and then we'll reveal it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, and everything great. About this conversation, there are subtle hints. We're putting little Easter eggs.
Yeah, you know. So you're guessing the slur based on our behavior.
Yeah.
Based on even our body language, or maybe the mic can pick up the way that Joe's shaking her head back and forth.
Well, that's just me having something wrong with my brain.
Well, you don't need to reveal that to the listeners yet.
No, it's true. It's true.
That's a big clue.
That's a big clue.
Wait, I missed it. What was the clue? Just end for the
something
listener.
Wrong with my brain.
Something wrong with my brain.
Interesting. People are going to think that I called you something so awful.
Bad.
Well, then we're going to have to get to the end of the episode.
But really what it was is that Bowen called us something so good, but it's a slur, but it's one of the really good ones.
Yeah, it's
there
one
are,
of the
there
really
is
really
thing
good
as a good slur.
Absolutely. True. I agree.
Let's list them. Culture. Let's go.
Do you wait, how have you been doing recently? Like,
I've
how are
been
you?
Okay. I've been like working a lot, which is
you're
good.
A busy bee.
But also it's overrated a little bit, I think. And I really miss the concept of a break. And I have not felt that in a long time.
Wow.
But I think I'll get it in like a couple months. I just want this. Is it? Tell me if you guys agree with this. When I read a book, I am sort of motivated by the idea that like once I finish it, I will receive an award. For finishing.
Yeah. Yes.
I give myself little awards for finishing the book because it's like, well, at least I'm not. My brain isn't atrophying.
Right.
Every moment.
If you text us when you finish books, then we'll give you.
Would
getting compliments be like getting it?
We'll make the fireworks go off in
What's
the chat.
What's something that? Oh, yeah. Do you like receiving? You like words of affirmation?
I love the fireworks in the chat.
Or
the lasers. If y'all did lasers.
Oh, what's your favorite compliment? I think that. Because then maybe we'll tuck it away. We'll tuck it away in our pocket.
Can we all go around in a circle and say our favorite compliment?
Yeah, I want to get asked that question, but I don't know.
Favorite compliment and most hurtful slur.
Wait, hold on. I have something.
Well, then I want to hear it.
Okay. Wait, no. Were you going to say something?
I don't.
Well, I was going to say that when we intro people on this podcast, which we haven't introed you yet, I've noticed that... like, all I can do is say how hot they are, like, instead of saying their actual accomplishments.
Who doesn't want to hear something nice about the way they look?
It seems like people don't care. Yes.
I care.
And no. I'm saying, like, they don't care that I'm not even acknowledging, like, everything, like, their achievements in their life.
Oh, yeah,
And they just like that I'm saying, like,
sexy.
Really sexy human. Which I can't kind of get over. You're,
it's
like,
okay.
Really glowing. It's the lighting.
Oh.
It's the red lips.
No,
it's
the earring gives, but
it's
we've
the accessory choices.
Yeah, we've discussed the ring. The ring on the fingers.
You're just a little
ring on the finger. Y'all better stop. This is
you're so stylish. Like you're so.
I
want to
hear everyone's favorite compliment, but then I'm gonna. Then we gotta start asking questions about Bowen's looks.
Okay. Okay, Bowen, you do. You do favorite compliment, so babe.
This is my favorite compliment. Are you ready?
Yep.
You're just so effortless.
Yes.
Oh, bitch. Wow.
What is that?
That's a great
for
one.
You?
It just means it kind of under. I don't know. It both like affirms and also like it affirms one thing that I try to do, but then it also like. It's also like I've pulled one on someone, or like I've fooled someone into thinking that I'm effort when I'm putting in all the effort, you know.
Well, that's really funny.
I've like
to me, it speaks to like it's well, maybe you think you have, but maybe they see it all, and they're still. It's like to me, effortless is like an unconditional thing. It's like
oh, really?
Even if you weren't trying, then I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you really think you try? Do you really think you're trying hard all the time? You
okay.
don't give that.
Well, are you serious?
You really don't give
That's
that.
That's wild.
Like even
say.
On Lost Cult, I feel like you're the one who's like kind of just chilled. And
just chilled.
You're showing up with what you have to offer, but you're not. I don't know.
I feel like you both are very effortless in that way.
Well, Matt's effortlessness comes through in like amazing. Jokes and like bits and like voices
right.
and for me
he doesn't even have to try
but I'm constantly like I kind of just hang back, but then when I listen back to stuff I'm like, why am I not being funnier? Like that's what I'm thinking about when I think about Lost Cult. which is a whole different thing, but anyway,
I can't believe you have that thought.
Anyway,
stupid.
No. I was going to say something that's stupid.
Favorite slur?
Stupid.
I'm going to be real. I love to be called. If someone laughs at you and says you're so fucking stupid, like after you make a joke, that's the best thing anyone can say.
Truly,
that's the best.
Does Allie say that to you?
No, I wish she said. She did call me stupid the other day when I made a particularly dumb joke.
I feel like I called you stupid the other day.
Yeah, I like it. What does that say about me? My favorite compliment is to be called stupid.
No, when you say something so dumb, but it's honestly too good. It's too gratifying.
Maybe
that
you
want to
be freed from your like.
Yeah, you're too smart.
Being such an intellectual.
Well, I like the both of the compliments, but I don't like any compliments about my looks. But I'll take a compliment about my style.
You don't.
Yeah, I'll take a compliment about my clothes because anything that I'm comfortable taking a compliment on anything that I have put. Effort into cultivating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you dig what I'm saying? Yeah. But if it's like someone's just saying something, and feel free to keep the comments about my looks coming. Don't
I think you're lying.
Don't be upset by what I'm about to say. But it makes me sometimes uncomfortable, depending on my
right.
mood.
Well,
it'll make
me comment on your legs. I'm sorry.
My legs is great.
When
it's sexualized. When
it's sexualized, yeah, that can kind of make me feel odd. Mm. But that's because I feel like a gay beast.
Mm.
I get it. I feel weird when.
Yeah,
it makes me sad more than anything.
It depends. Yeah, I wish I could just take it.
I don't feel like I experience it enough to actually be uncomfortable about it. No, I don't. You guys both get sexualized, I think, more than I do.
I don't like how I'm sexualized. I don't think I get
sexualized that much. People are just being like, you're so
no,
dumb.
No, I feel like people are.
You know?
I think people are for, I think that so many conversations I have about y'all is that it's like, God, they're just so
sexual.
Cool and sexual.
Yeah, people do say that.
No cap, you know, it's like, I feel like that is, this is the thing. I was just talking about this on our pod on Lost Cult. We were like, aesthetics are so important because it is it is not only the means of communication, but it is the thing that is being communicated. Like
totally,
the reason
it's the medium and the message.
It's the medium and the message. It's not actually that. It's not actually shallow for you to like care about the way you look, because whether you're like going against a certain beauty standard or you're going with it, like it still is meaningful that you are being conscious about like the way things are presented, because it is. Kind of the most immediately impactful thing. Anyway,
yeah.
I feel like the three of you have really like figured that out for yourselves, and as a unit, it's it's beautiful.
I think to be in touch with aesthetics at all is to just like be, I don't know. It reflects maybe like a certain level of consciousness about the reality and the culture in which yes. you live. And you're not just like a slave to
yes.
any of it. But also, you know, you can think someone has like a brilliant aesthetic and then you meet them and they're a real asshole or they're like a big dum-dum or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's interesting is I feel like we've always been trying. We've been trying the same amount. We've been a band for almost 10 years and mm-hmm. like we've been trying just as hard the whole time to like get it right aesthetically.
I think also a lot of
you have
of
to just
like,
hate yourself a little less.
I think it has to yeah. be more yeah. maybe Which comes Naomi with and age. I being more embodied.
Yeah, no, me too.
I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me
Where
too.
People telling us, like, beautiful, sexy girl. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
For many years being like that. And I think that probably hindered the execution of aesthetic.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. You know?
I can't imagine what people in rooms, like at labels or whatever the fuck, like have said to you. On the subject of aesthetics, like that would wreck me.
Like you know what, our label was crazy. Never like that. If anything, it was like conversations that we've had with like old people that we like worked with in terms of fashion stuff, and then also just like
people at magazines,
and fit. Like it's more like of like when you're clothes. Going to like a photo shoot or something, and someone is just you know being a person who works in that world and not knowing anything about you.
Yeah.
There was a guy at our last label who had an issue with the loudspeaker video.
I bleached
my eyebrows and I had armpit hair. You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
You the guy who sucked.
The guy who sucked.
Oh my fucking god! I hate this man.
He didn't care, and he didn't
he thought
like.
He was so cool.
He didn't like the way that I. He personally didn't want to fuck me, looking that way that I looked on that day,
which
so.
Is a big issue.
And he didn't even say loss. It to my face. He like communicated it through a chain of people.
I don't
people.
Remember this.
I don't know if you guys knew about it.
I don't
it.
Think I knew.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
What did he say? He was just like, "That looks weird."
Yeah.
Jeez.
What an idiot.
He does sound like a ding-a-ling. Naomi's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he sucks. Him because that was like, I don't know, 5 years before everyone started bleaching their eyebrows.
Katie has consistently been quite ahead. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
That's,
but I feel
yes.
like it's
true.
That's all I have to say.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's interesting, like, with you, because in your job, you're being seen by millions of people in, like, a variety of costumes that are not necessarily you. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So do you not deal with, like, if you're in a costume that makes you feel funny? Like, mm-hmm. how do you navigate that with, like, figuring out what you're wearing? And does it just not fucking matter because it's not you?
I don't know. I think I've just, like... not even compartmentalize it. There's something beyond compartmentalizing something where you're just like
dissociation,
or you're putting it in a drawer and then you're like hiding the drawer away. I think compartmentalizing to me means just like, oh, you're like separating things in a way that like makes sense for you. But there's something else when you just like file it away completely. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe I'm just like not using the term correctly. But I feel like that's where I'm at now, and I don't know if there's a reckoning for me coming personally where I'm like, where if I do start to confront that, then I will like fall apart. I don't know.
Well, I wonder also, like, I don't know. It's kind of, are like, to me, you can do anything in a sketch and I will not see it as necessarily being reflective of the person.
Sure.
Like, if I see the person in real life and they're like, you know, dripped down like with an amazing outfit, totally different than wearing something obviously like absurd in a sketch. It's like obviously our brains can understand that that's a separate person. But maybe if like you're, I don't know, maybe does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I also have
no,
this like, so like when I do EMDR, which is a type of therapy, there's like a really common practice that you do like when it starts and when it finishes, which actually has to do with like a box that you've like gone and like put in another place, like in your imagination. So essentially like hidden it.
Yeah.
And then you like take it out and work with whatever memories you're reprocessing. And then at the end, you put it back in the box and you kind of hide the box again.
Interesting.
So it's so, it is funny that you're using that metaphor, because maybe there's an interpretation of that, of this, where it's not necessarily like this nefarious or like dangerous thing that's going to blow up at you. It's like, this is actually like a healthy therapeutic way for you to deal with, like, I don't know, like different parts of the self or shadow parts.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Because I would imagine that there are like little pieces that you have to connect with, like in every sketch character, to actually make it authentic.
Sure.
Or you fully dissociate.
Or you fully dissociate. I never quite think about the scale at which it's being distributed. Like, I don't think about how, like, oh, like millions of people are watching this and therefore this is a consideration, which it is. I just, if it's like, I know it to be like self-work and like inner work that I'm just like, I'm not thinking about the audience, and maybe I should. But I think an example of something is on when we were doing Fire Island, like that really fucked with me, because.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Because the wardrobe was like, my character had really like, my character was like really not comfortable in his skin. So the wardrobe reflected that, you know, the character's journey is that he's like, oh, I don't really like fit into this like hegemonic thing. And it fucked with me while we were shooting, because I thought I had like evolved past that. Mm-hmm. But then it like yanked me back into that place that I was at maybe like 10 years ago when I was like in my 20s and like really didn't know where I fit into things. And then like it took me like a full year to like undo all of it. Like post wrap on the movie, like last year, like right after we finished the movie up until like it came out, like I was really not in a good place security wise, you know? And that's where,
I just feel like all that stuff, at least I think with anything that anyone goes through, it just comes in waves. So it's like the thing that you thought you know, conquered at one point just comes back. And it's a little bit different, like every time. Yeah. But I just think that's how we go through the world. I don't think anything ever goes away.
Totally.
Just your relationship to it changes.
And when we're like telling stories, we want, even like with us, it's album cycles. Like, it's so tempting to have this narrative of like, yeah, we were really struggling, and then like we felt all the pain, and we like faced this part of ourselves that was hard to face, and we went through it, and we came out on the other side.
Right, it's not finished,
like,
necessarily, right?
Yeah. It's not fit. The clown comes back to bite. speaking
of the clown,
album 4 title.
Speaking of the clown, we're going to take a few minutes to talk about the circus, and. Back to our first sponsor.
Back to
Circus Me Plus.
Circus Me Plus. I love them.
Which is what? Sorry?
Circus Me Plus. You get to rent a clown by the hour.
And they bite.
And they bite. The ads. And they're Circus Me Plus Gold, which is when the clown does a racial impression.
Well, that's what they've like. That's when you get gold membership. It's premium. Really hard to get
they
up
say,
there.
They say something racist, and then you get to beat the shit out of them.
Wow,
Circus Me Plus gold.
Anyways, thank you, Circus Me Plus. Let me start by saying this show, Gaotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp,
not
in.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like it starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date, and mm-hmm. it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and mm-hmm. BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gayotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gayotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please.
You're listening to Gayotic? Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, and we're back.
Wait, are you guys doing, doing fake sponsors?
No. Well, it was just now.
They have been. Yeah.
We all made one up.
First season with fake sponsors.
Anya said to throw to a break, and I said Circus Me Plus.
I love it.
Well, hopefully we'll get a sponsor, and hopefully it's Circus Me Plus.
Yeah. Circus Me.
Circus Me. Oh my God,
hopefully
what if we got, like,
guys,
what if we got, like, Circus Olay?
Circus Olay.
Circus Olay.
Olay. Olay. Yeah, Circus Olay is the version they have in Spain.
What is it? What is it? Circus Olay? What is it?
It's Cirque du.
Why can't you? Du.
Soleil.
Oh, it's French.
Circus, comma, Olay.
I ain't ever
imagine Circus Olay, like, moving in Vegas, like, next to Cirque du Soleil.
And it's doing so well.
The Spanish competitor. Well, I'm imagining it being like shampoo and conditioner.
Oh, as an Olay.
As an Olay with the circus.
With a circus.
Wow. The clowns are all bathing each other.
And they have luscious hair. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my
Circus
God.
Me Plus Platinum.
You get to watch them bathe each other.
Plus plat.
That's
wow.
Cool, baby.
What the hell?
When you guys started Lost
Culture,
which, by the way, when I abbreviate your podcast, I say Lost Cult.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm the only one in the world who does that, but.
What do you say?
It's giving cult.
It's giving cult. We say Lost Cult. We say, but it doesn't matter.
They say cult.
Culturista.
Lost Cult.
Lost Cult also.
Go beyond tea.
Go beyond tea.
Cult sounds like some sort of vaginal thing.
Yeah.
When you guys started it, did you guys have sponsors already?
No.
Just wondering.
We did not have sponsors.
When did you get your first sponsor, and what did it feel like?
It felt so
and what
good.
What did you have to do for it?
It felt amazing. I love the
Kraft mac and cheese ad so much.
Oh, God.
That is a pure vehicle for Matt. It's really something. The muse was in the room with us. It was wild.
You've heard it, right?
Yes, I have.
Those ladies are insatiable for men. I think about that a lot.
Like we're insatiable for Kraft mac and cheese.
It's
when I make Kraft mac and cheese, I look down into heaven and enjoy the delicious food.
Delicious food.
Do they give you a script that, like, what's the part when it's like, it's important to, like, give yourself what you want, especially, like, in a society that doesn't want you to.
And never apologize for it. And never, that was in the script, but, like, all the stuff before, like, well, I think the script was just me asking Matt, hey, Matt, what's the best pop culture to enjoy while eating a bowl of Kraft mac and cheese? And then it said in brackets, like, ad lib,
whatever
you want.
Anything.
And Matt just went off into
Sex in the City.
Down into heaven.
So stupid. So dumb.
Oh, well, I wanted to ask a question based on sort of like, and never apologize for it. What
yes.
do you, I just want to make this a space for everybody to complain about the gay positivity movement.
What is
where
that?
You have to be happy all
what
the
time. That?
Well, it's like that. It's like where it's like, you're fierce and slay,
oh,
honey. Never
right.
apologize. And like that kind of, that's what I'm seeing happening.
Like is that we have to relentlessly like love here. Ourselves and
yeah,
love ourselves.
Yeah, you have to relentlessly
love
yourself
yeah.
and it's like,
don't you think we're like a part of that? Are we not?
I don't know if we
I
are.
Think I'm a part of it.
I think we're all guilty, baby.
No, oh, I think like everyone here is being honest that they're mentally ill.
Joe knows what stuff I'm talking about. It's more like ad culture.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's just the commodification of homosexuals.
Yeah,
really. But flattening it into this like idea that like everyone is
feel good pancake.
Exactly, feel good pancake, or that you're liberated for the rest of your life by the fact that you have come out in some way.
Mm. If you really loved yourself, you would be shopping at Circus Plus.
Circus Olay.
Circus Me Plus.
Circus Me Plus.
It's the me that really is beautiful. Yeah. Circus Me.
For only $30 a month.
it sounds like also a porn website for some reason.
Yeah, so. That's why I thought it was going to be that the clowns are going to be circusing you.
Oh my God.
Go ahead and circs me.
That's what I thought.
Circs me off.
That's also, that's like one of the things in quotes.
That's one of the.
These are your air quotes?
This is, okay, wait.
This is what we do.
Okay, there was a time on the tour bus where we were watching Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, we can't say this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying this.
Kira, we love you, girl. We respect you.
Okay, we were watching Pirates of the Caribbean.
We respect all women.
Actually, I think Gio started this.
Yes, Gio did.
Our bassist who you know.
Oh, Gio. Everyone loves Gio.
Oh, Gio.
Matt was casually talking about Gio.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I see Gio. Gio's liking all y'all's posts. I'm like, oh, hello, Gio.
So Gio.
Gio's around.
He's around.
Gio's around. Anyway, we were watching Pirates of the Caribbean and Kira comes on in her corset and everybody on the, and
like
people on the bus
like,
started going, mommy. Mommy.
Like kind of holding your arms above your head like you're like a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's y'all regressed into children.
Well, some girls make you go all the way back.
She was so beautiful that she wasn't mother, she was mama.
She was mama.
She was,
mama is different.
Pre-language. She was pre-language.
She took me back to the Stone Age.
Oh my God.
She clubbed me over the head and I woke up in a cave. Yeah.
Naomi, if someone complimented you like that,
like this,
would that be okay?
That's what I'm doing.
I would just be wondering what they'd be grabbing for.
Yeah,
any part of you.
Nothing to grab
for your beautiful, for my beautiful that are looking so good.
They're grabbing for my beautiful. Consider that
as
sort of like a beautiful.
I'm grabbing for your beautiful.
that sounds like a what's his name?
Jesse McCartney.
Yeah, Ryan Cabrera.
Yeah.
Wow,
that'd be sick to have spikes all the way around your head. Was so epic of him.
When did he do that? Oh yeah,
Ryan Cabrera.
Yes, yes, yes.
When he got his spikes all the way around, pretty cool.
Damn.
Anyway, I think if someone did this to me, it would really depend on who it was. If it was Keira Knightley, I'd go ahead and pick her up. No question.
I'm gonna be testing out this theory.
I'm just realizing, like, for the people who are just listening, we're putting our
wildly gesticulating,
and we're kind of grabbing up, and we're kind of squenching our fingers.
Squenching.
Oh, I like that word.
In a kind of ambiguous way, could be for
nothing. It could be
could
for
be
nothing.
For nothing at all.
It could be for
something that's in a corset.
For women's rights.
Oh, it could be squenching for women's rights.
I'm squenching
I'm only
for
squenching
women's rights.
For women's rights.
Oh, always. That's the only way you can do it.
Yeah,
and treating everyone with respect.
I'm just realizing, like, okay, so we're like coming in here to do the podcast. This is we're gonna listen back to this years from now, and this will just be like a
document.
A document of like, wow, they really were not making any sense at that time in time.
This is like, let me tell you, this is my God-given right. This is my God-given right.
Yes.
Is to sit here and wing about
more.
And not make sense.
This is going to be the funnest part of my week, I'm telling you.
Oh,
I promise. Are you kidding me?
Let me tell you, number one, stop being so serious.
Take a load off.
Thank you for saying that, Joe. Take a load off,
Sally.
Is it
Sally?
I think it's Annie. It's not Annie, it's Fanny.
Take a load off, Fanny.
It's that double F.
Take a load off my Fanny. How about that?
Take a load.
Put it on, Fanny.
Put the load on.
Put the load on.
Put the load on culture for the Fanny.
Oh my God.
Wait, is that like a gay anthem then? Take a load off Fanny. put the load right on me.
It really should be.
Put the load right on me is pretty great.
Is that?
That's not the lyric, is it?
No, that's the lyric.
Shut the fuck up.
Put the load right on me.
Hold on.
Google that shit.
Someone needs to be Googling.
Google that shit.
Okay.
That's what I've been singing.
Take a load off Sally.
Sally.
Take a load off Sally.
Okay, the way the band, lyrics. Okay, let's see. Oh, it's on Genius.
It's okay.
Take a load Genius. For free. Take a load off Fanny and put the load right on me. Oh my God, you're right. Put the load right on me.
You know what? These people are perverts.
these freaks.
Capital P pervert.
Fucking the
this
band.
This is the pullout method though, because put the load on me.
Me.
Not
what
do
you bear on me?
Okay. So scientifically speaking, the pullout method's 100%. Would you agree as
in
our
my
scientific
science. It has been.
It's just science.
If it's out, it can't be in.
That's science.
And no baby.
I really no do got to say, Bowen, you being here is unlocking the inner absolute freak in me. I'm looking at you.
Okay, that's
now
another
we're getting
hint.
Back into slur territory.
That's another hint. The word freak was one of the words in the slur.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. This is perfect breadcrumbing from us.
Yeah.
I know. Weaving a narrative, no matter what.
We're actually reading from a script. It just feels really natural.
And we're like talking over each other like in
this is a table read.
It's a table read. Y'all, oh my God, y'all have to do a movie.
Do a movie.
Circus Olé.
Yeah, well, this
in
is
the movie
is this
version
the
of Circus Olé.
Are we gonna make a movie together?
I'm gonna Matt and I are gonna write the reboot.
Put the
to
load
Crossroads.
Right on me.
We're writing the reboot to Crossroads, and it's y'all going on a road trip to Vegas to meet, I think, let's say it's Joe's mom. At
yes.
Circus Olé.
Circus Olé. Yes.
You know,
but we accidentally go to Circus Me Plus first.
Well, that's where
and
things
the clown
get
comes
funny.
Back to bite.
I'm yeah. pretty sure when I'm Matt was here, I actually pitched him doing a movie of our lives, but he plays every character. So this is.
Did you do that? I don't remember.
I'm pretty
sure. That's a great idea.
Have you just, maybe really you good. Just thought it.
Maybe I just thought it.
Maybe you just had
I do think I said that, but
anyone playing us would have to have you. The wig budget would be beyond.
Yeah,
yeah. If it's one person,
especially. We would do movie.
I would love to be in Circus Me Plus.
I think they both would
movie.
Be really good.
Circus Me Katie, Plus.
Shush,
back with
Katie's
a vengeance.
A great actress.
Where are you getting yeah, that?
You are a great actress.
Which is an actor. That's
you've
a woman.
Been acting in every one of our music videos. While Naomi and I are like dipped.
We're
Dylan
like we're like dipping, you know, like eating like corn chips with dip
yeah.
on the table. Katie's like rolling around out of bed. We're like, God, we're exhausted from this.
All three of you.
Katie's slang.
Katie's slang. Y'all, everyone's slang because there is a kind of presence and awareness and technique to music video acting, to like literally being in a music video that the three of you nail, because I gotta tell you, when I do anything remotely, not that I've been in music videos, but like if we do if we do like a song on
we
SNL,
got brought
I'm saying like I look crazy in that. I look insane and I don't know what to do with my body. I don't know what to do.
I think it's a different type of playing to camera, right?
Sure.
It's like the camera is another person, or that's at least what I've
and
extended
the, no the
from...
camera is the concept of sex.
The camera is the concept of sex.
Well, the camera is the corset.
Yeah. And then you're looking for mama.
Yeah, looking for mama.
But it is it's like when in doubt, mama. Seduce. It's that thing, and I think you all do it.
I think it's probably because you just haven't been in your Muna video era
yet.
That you don't feel at home.
I am not entitled to it. I will, of course, gladly accept it, but I'm not going to be like, when am I going to be? It's not like that.
Stop. No, oh my God. You'd slay in a Muna
what
music
would I even
be
do?
So sick.
I don't even know.
Romantic interest.
Something amazing.
I have this idea of we have a new song that we're working on a video for it. I want to pitch like that. We do something with...
Why are you looking right at me?
Because I know that you're going to be the first one to shoot me down.
Let's no!
Okay,
Katie
so...
Katie has a brilliant talent of pitching ideas that cost a minimum of $3 million.
I do, actually. The joke is like, you know that scene in The Office when Michael is coming up with like a video for The Office and he's like, it's kids playing in a sandbox. Like, you zoom out. Yes. The sandbox is in a prison.
The world's largest prison. Yeah, that is actually you.
Like, I sent that to them years ago, and I was like, this is me.
Zoom out even a music further. Video.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. No, but, like, the song is giving very, like pursuit, like, Janet Jackson, like, fake city at night and it's raining type of thing.
Okay.
And it's like somebody, like it's like a chase type of thing.
The only thing that's expensive so far is the rain.
Is the rain.
And
the rain,
city, yeah. And city at night.
Fake city, full
so,
city
so,
at
so
night. Right,
so right. Far it's very, continue.
I think that it should be not necessarily a one shot, but like, I think we should have Sarab and Gio in it. And I should do like, the song is kind of like, it's like a bit of a tease like song where it's like, you wish you could have me, but you can't have me. And I think that I should have like a romantic interactions with each of you guys. And then like, I have to like have, and then I leave.
After after every one of us that she goes to, we're all left.
Yeah. You're just left mama. Saying mama.
We're all left. Mama. Please.
Yeah. But we should have like, I don't know, some type of dance moment. Because we always do that on stage and we never do it in videos.
That's a dance moment?
Like, no, like, we're sexy dancing?
Yeah, like we're having sexy moments.
Oh, I see.
I can never be sexy because I'm doing science.
Well,
I know, but you don't have to be. Oh, here's the other thing I want.
Science in
the
video.
Want you to be playing the guitar. Because I think then you could dance. You know, it would be like the guitar is famously, you know, it, almost like a guitar.
Guitar is one of the least horny instruments.
No, it's the sexiest.
No, I disagree.
You with the guitar, my pants
would
be falling off.
You can't have a
my
midi
guitar. My pants would be falling off because they're so heavy from being sopping wet.
my pants are so heavy.
I have heavy pants
heavy from wet.
From your guitar. Girl,
this is the thing. I can't seduce to camera. I can't imagine making love to it. Like, that is the thing that I will never ever connect to.
No, but don't say never, because I couldn't do that. Like, for the first couple years of us doing music videos, I really only knew how to be like angry at the camera or like traumatized at the camera.
Yes.
Traumatized! Exclamation point.
And then I could also be, I mean, I guess I could, like, in high school I did more like sketch comedy stuff and I was comfortable like being a
sketch
joke
queen.
But I think it's funny because, you know, our episode of Lost Culture, like, we, I think you guys titled it Hot Enough to Go For It.
Yeah.
And that was like, I said that offhand about like just being willing to actually try to seduce the camera. It's fucking embarrassing, obviously, because you could not be seductive ultimately.
The scariest reality is that you do have to choose to be hot.
Yeah.
You mean like
and
generally?
What's scary about
it?
Like
in general.
Yeah.
To believe
committing
because you
to
don't
the
actually
choice.
Know if you are.
Okay, now this is the thing. When did everybody decide to be hot? Does anyone have? Bowen, do you have a moment when you decided to be hot? Because it seems like you decided.
That's so interesting. Good. That's so interesting. I think I'm still building back up from from Fire Island, and I have not arrived at that choice. But thank
you. I think you're looking pretty hot.
Thanks,
see that earring, and I think yes, boo.
Did it just feel? I mean, you don't have to get into it, but
no.
Just feel like
it was?
It was just triggering, essentially. Like,
it was triggering. It was also like the reason why this character is on this journey is because like the people around him are like, no one wants to fuck him. And was like, I there was no way I wasn't going to internalize that. Like, I don't have mental fortitude to like withstand that kind of thing.
Totally. And it's I'm glad I've been cast as this character. That's cool.
It's not even that. Yeah. It's just that like, God bless. And it's also this thing of like, this thing that Joel and I never really quite addressed in our friendship up until that point. And then through the movie, which is totally fine. Like, I don't like begrudge him of that. It was just like this thing of like, oh, we're like really exploring this like as we're shooting this. That's interesting. But it kind of like it was a little rattling. But like it's purely me, and like I'll get back there. I'll it's fine.
That is that is something about the gay community that like I really honestly don't feel like we have to experience as like queer people who are not cis men, is like that element of just kind of toxic expectations for what a body should look like. And also, like, I think it has to do with, it's so.
Or just like how much you fuck.
Yeah, it's so layered because, like, obviously there's a history of, like, hypersexuality in the gay male community because that was the space that, like, gay men were allowed to express intimacy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Meanwhile, like, the girlies were having endless sleepovers and just with giving head until the end of time and nobody noticed. Or...
And their husbands were like, that's not sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right, right.
Let them do it.
But yeah, so, like, this...
it's capital
desire for connection. The desire for connection and intimacy gets like transmuted and funneled into like the physical form.
Yeah.
Which that's really not what it like sex and love is about.
Totally.
You know?
I've had to like really like disavow that kind of idea, but it's hard. Like it's weird. And when did I decide to be hot? Before this, I don't know. This is what I was gonna say earlier when I was talking about effortlessness. It's like that thing where I was talking about this with someone last night where like they're like, are you dating anybody? I was like, no, are you? And they were like, no. And then they said, but I'm doing that thing where like I don't care, like I'm not looking for it. And of course I have this meta awareness of like, well, it's going to happen when I'm not looking for it.
Right.
I'm kind of expecting in the back of my mind that it's going to happen. And which is like, you can't escape that desire necessarily, even if you don't necessarily put in the effort or are aware of it or whatever. And so I think it's that same way for me in terms of like the way I like present myself, the way I think of myself as like a desirable being. I'm like, oh, should I not care about it and that's when it comes, or do I care about it and then I engineer it that way? It's so weird.
Yeah. Or do you not care about caring?
Exactly. Yeah, it's so like you can just go on like the snake eats its own tail and then
we love that shape.
Ouroboros.
Joe, just sigh. I knew you were going to sigh about that.
No, it's just like it's all. It's not just one thing.
That, but that made me really curious, like do you have like characteristics that you at this point know you're looking for in like somebody that you want to be with? Like, do you want to be in love? You want to fall in love?
Yeah, I do.
And do you know, like, is there language around like what kind of person like would be exciting for you?
Someone who, I think it's the language is fucked because it's situational.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's something. Are you ready for this?
I'll probably get it, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. Someone you can just leave alone at a party. And I think a lot of people have this thing, right?
Boner.
Totally.
Boner, yeah.
Boner. Yeah. But God, I first of all just wanna do that thing that Joe did, which is just sigh and go, Ouroboros. Like I need to work that into everyday conversation. But anyway, yes, it's someone you can leave alone. And like, what is that? Like,
That's such an attractive quality in general, even in like a friendship, just knowing that someone can like, it's just like it's knowing that someone can handle themselves.
Yeah.
And that is, it's just attractive.
I'm in a new relationship, but I did score somebody that I can leave alone at parties. And I think part of it that's so amazing about them is like that there's just a sense of like they're really comfortable with themselves, and like even if at a party they're like I've taken them to some crazy social situations since we started dating and like they don't even care if they're standing alone for a little while, like
but
they also like they really know themselves, and they're also very curious about other people, and they're confident. And it's like, I think just the idea of somebody like being able to fit into your life, you know, also at a party, you're with your homies. So it's like, I think that's been really big for me. I used to kind of date in like a messed up, compartmentalized way where like I would hook up with people but not introduce them to my friends.
Oh, totally. And, yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's hard to, because once you introduce them to your friends, it's like, you can kind of see what it actually is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, does this person kind of fit into your life?
Which
like,
is less fun than the fantasy.
Well, that's yeah. always
And it just
case.
Will be. But like, yeah. I think, I feel like the being able to leave a person alone at a party is also sort of, at least for me, I was such a shy kid growing up that it's nice to be around someone who is less shy than
yes.
I. Like, and cause then it's like, okay, I'm safe. Like, I don't mm-hmm. need to, I'm not worried about how shy I feel and how shy you are.
Yeah.
Cause then I'm just yeah. gonna have a fucking panic attack.
And no right. one wants to be at the party with me. I think this has just showed me that no one wants to date me.
You have
wait, what?
Kelly want to date you.
No, I just don't want to be at the party.
Wait, but are you with someone now?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I've been in a relationship.
But we cannot. We personally when we cannot go to a leave party, Joe
I
at a
say,
party.
Don't leave me alone because I'm not good at.
But that's different.
I don't want to talk to anybody. Right, I think that's right. my deep down in my soul. I want to be back at home.
I think with you, it's actually you're too self-confident to the point where you're like, that's, I'm actually not yeah. looking for
is,
any external yeah. validation.
Well, I don't really want to. I'm not really interested in other people.
You're like, I need to go home and plan my suit. We want to. So like part of obviously this podcast is just like we're going to talk about whatever the fuck we want. But we also, given that we are three queers talking to another little queer
in a slur type of way
four slurs
we're curious about like if there are any moments that come to mind in terms of like thinking about maybe like earlier gay experiences that felt either exciting for you or that felt like spooky for you in that you were like, oh, I am feeling a tingle for this character that maybe alludes something to about myself that I didn't know before or something like that.
Yeah. Like your like childhood experiences.
Yeah. And we also want to acknowledge that, you know, like this is like going back into our early days. It's like it can be as serious or as like stupid
yeah.
as you want it to be.
Oh,
whatever just comes up.
Uh-huh. There was this, I'm going to say like 3 month period in the eighth grade
mm-hmm.
when mm-hmm. it was really strange. It was like, I was not officially out yet, but it was like, kind of collectively understood among my classmates and the people like at my school, and specifically the boys in the eighth grade, that I was this fey, fun, like just like little queer kid, but like there was no language around them, there's no vocabulary. The label didn't necessarily matter. Like no one
that you were spicy.
But that was spicy, but no one even needed to hear me say that I was gay. You know, they're like, something's up with Bowen. What's this about? And there was like a period of like 2 or 3 months in the eighth grade when it might have started out as a bit, but ultimately a harmless one where like guys would come up to me in the eighth grade and be like, and take their shirts off and like start rubbing up on me.
No.
And I took it at face value and was just like, this is great.
Yeah,
like it was
absolutely.
It was like hotties hot. It was like he played hockey. He played lacrosse. He was just this like golden boy, right? He was the heartthrob of the eighth grade of the whole school, and he was going hard into this whole like we're boyfriend. Like he was like we're boyfriends, and it like love. Rocked my world, and I just took it at face value, and I was just like running with it. I was like, "This is I'm king of this."
So he would walk up to you in the hallway and take his shirt off.
Well, like it, like the bit was that like he would like eye me up. He would like eye fuck me in the hallway in front of other kids. Eye fuck me in class. When we were at lunch, we would run outside, and he would just like pull out like bare his nipples and like tweak, like twiddle with them towards me and just,
yeah,
like, it was like,
and you're like, yes, hun.
I'm like, this is great. And he, and like, I think he kind of, he got off on it on some,
yeah,
on some level.
This, yeah.
The straight, okay. Straight culture is so fucking weird.
It's
straight
so
culture
weird.
Is actually gay.
Straight culture
it's
is
actually
super gay.
Yeah.
It's actually the kinkiest gay that you could be.
It's exactly. Straight. It's the hardest. It's the asymptote that they can go to, but they can never touch.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think he, you know, the road diverged, but then it went back into like the flow of things where he was just like one of the straight boys for all time. And now he's mm-hmm. doing great. But I like probably like took it too far and like would call his house every other day. And it would go to his
That's
answering
so
machine.
Cute.
And then like, but oh. it wasn't cute because I think like at some point, like his sister would be like, so you're calling the house a lot. And I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably stop.
It's just this long form bit that we're doing.
I couldn't explain it. And then of course, like at a certain point it reached its conclusion. Cause I was like, I can't keep this going.
Okay, so would you recommend this to young straight allies that are listening?
I think so. I think so because guess what? It was like a pretty important formative thing for me to like be empowered by like male attention.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like that it's not like a thing to like hide from and it's not a thing that like, and granted it was this like fucked up refracted version of it that wasn't totally authentic
totally.
And true, but it was this thing of like, oh, this is fun. Like people, like let people come to you or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
that was what it
yeah.
taught me. I don't know that I've really internalized
That's so
it,
cute.
But it really flashes back to me in moments where I'm like, oh, what an interesting part of like my development.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. And it's like, it's also giving me, what was the show that you liked? Josette, Heartstopper.
Oh, Heartstopper. Oh, I never
like,
saw
because,
it.
Because my, really my cute, like hope really for this day and age is like, you know, because probably some of those boys that were flirting with you, like, they probably actually were interested in hooking up or maybe even.
Maybe. Totally. Maybe. Dating.
You know, like, it's just statistically, like, that's a big possibility. And I would hope that in this day and age that, I mean, that's kind of the storyline of Heartstoppers. Like, one of them is actually, like, a straight popular guy.
Or right, right,
assumed
right.
to be straight. And then he comes out as bi because he's interested in this other kid who's.
And this kid and a sweetie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
So cute.
Getting same. Okay. Well, how do I say this in a way that's inclusive? Getting affection from the people that you are attracted to, but in a way that is like goofy sexual, like jokey sexual, I feel like is such a queer.
That is,
it's,
that,
it's a
that
very
is
queer
like
thing.
The biggest queer
yeah.
thing. It's like my entire high school.
Yeah.
I used to think about the things I did. It was disgusting.
Well, people
disgusting things.
People just know. I think people can, yeah, they, it's like you're saying, like people can, I talk about this all the time.
You just know. People know.
Silly podcast. But yeah, people, straight people can tell when people are queer,
mm-hmm.
just as queer people can tell
when people
are queer,
straight.
But, yeah,
queer.
Exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah. Both. Like, and like, maybe they're a little less attuned to it. We just have like a hyper awareness to
right.
maybe being able to sense that someone is queer. But it's like, if you're as gay as I was, mm-hmm. like, that's going to be obvious to other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, maybe they're not going to like treat you totally differently, but they'll maybe like flirt with you for fun,
sure,
like that, or like for practice, or like as a joke, and it's kind of like, okay, like this is odd.
It didn't make a difference to me that it was a joke, though. Like I knew,
yeah,
I knew
totally.
It wasn't totally real, but I was like, I'm gonna,
like, who cares?
Who cares? And then like even the teachers were like, we went on some field trip, I forgot where, but it was like when we were waiting for the bus to come, like all these kids started, like all these guys started to just take off their shirts and like dance around me. And like, they were like having,
oh my God.
They were like, it wasn't menacing. They were like having fun and like enjoying it. Like
uh-huh.
truly, truly, like that's my memory of it. And then like the teachers were like, wow, this is so interesting. This is so lovely that like this generation of kids is like much more liberated in that way. And they're like not afraid to like express themselves in a way that feels like not super, I mean, like they didn't express it this way, but they're like God, you guys, this grade is really
that's
open-minded,
really cool.
Yeah,
I've never really heard of anything like this, like
it's,
and it must have just been a really special meeting of like both, if your read on it is correct, like this one guy like having a being kind of a catalyst of letting people know what's okay, but also your willingness to like receive it without like inherent shame or like to your willingness to take it at face value and have fun with it rather than be like, no, don't draw attention to me. You know what I mean? That's really cool.
There's an Emperor's New Clothes kind of thing where it's maybe like it's slightly embarrassing, but there's also a version of that story where it's like, well, the Emperor is like walking around in his underwear and maybe he looks cunty. Maybe he looks amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I love that.
Like maybe he shouldn't.
The Emperor
was
serving cunt.
Just the goal is always just to serve cunt.
Just to serve cunt. But like, you know, what was I going to say? Oh, but I think another part of it, another reason why it's important to point out that it was in the eighth grade was that like we were not, the hierarchy was not totally locked in because we were not in high school yet. By the time we all went to
that year.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like the last gasp at like, do whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't matter. It's all going to be reset by the time we all go into the ninth grade. And that makes it a little bit sad. It was like, oh, like it was all kind of a dream or was this reverie that like ended just as quickly as it began. And it really was like 3 months at the end of the year. And then we all went to summer. And then when we got back from summer, it was high school and it was everything was rearranged. And that was when people had to like fend for themselves.
Everything changes so fast. But that's funny because that's eighth grade, I think, is maybe the year that I hooked up with girls the most.
Really?
Before high school. Because it was a time where, I don't know, there was just...
I think people are
It was different because it wasn't like as a joke. It was more of like the practice thing.
Mm-hmm.
But...
That's hot.
Yeah. I know.
I was not included in the practice for reasons that were obvious.
Yeah, but you had like actual...
Because that would be the for serious and not the practice.
I know, but you had like a secret girlfriend. And then by the time I went to high school, I was like, okay, I'm straight.
Right.
And then I actually did that again when I went to USC. Queen. I was like, and I'm straight. But both times it didn't last. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we need to reveal
the slur.
Oh, is it time? The great slur.
So, Bowen, please, who's revealing the slur?
I'll reveal
Bowen
it.
Bowen should reveal the slur.
Yeah, reveal it.
We were talking about Katie maybe like touching a knob or a dial. A knob. Ew.
Indeed.
A dial too much. And then I said, well, the three of you are all, was it Little Freak Gadget Boys? Was that the slur?
Yeah.
Little Freak it was Gadget little, Boys.
No, it wasn't even Freak. It was Little Gadget Boys.
Little Gadget Boys because I...
Or perhaps it was Freaky Little Gadget Boys.
Freaky Little Gadget Boys.
I think
Boys.
It might have been Freaky Little Gadget Boys.
Yes. Oh, because the word Freak was in it. But
yes.
That was one of our hints earlier, but I was referencing the fact that I've seen you touch... some hardware
knobs.
Backstage, knobs and dials at your shows. So that's it.
That's what we do at our shows.
Yeah,
anybody
who's
never
to
been to a
dials.
Show, just...
seen us touch dials and knobs. Knobs, knobs is a terrible word.
Well, thank you for revealing the slur. And I do think that we can work through it together.
We're going to do this thing that we forget to do a lot, which is rate a review.
We read the reviews of the public.
Someone who reviewed the podcast, we read it and then we rate it.
Oh, you rate the... I love that.
We review the review. Yeah,
right. We're kind of flipping. Yeah,
we're flipping it on its head
and breaking the fourth wall. We're doing a lot of sort of
it's high art.
Ouroboros.
Yeah, talk about it.
Oh, Ouroboros.
Okay, so Coco Gray said, "Thank you, Mooniverse, the avocado quinoa GameStop of podcasts.
Oh wow,
now
it's
we
true.
Can't live without is finally here.
I've read this one.
Okay,
love
well,
it.
First of all,
they're referencing niche things that we've discussed, which is the avocado quinoa salad from Mendocino Farms.
Okay, I'm saying something absolutely serious.
Mendocino
Farms. I will
reach out.
Do anything for you guys to sponsor the podcast.
We love
I will
you.
Do anything.
Mendocino
we'll
Farms.
We'll do a mukbang of Mendocino Farms.
Mendocino
Yo.
Farms. Mendocino Farms. I did a mukbang every day for 6 months when I worked there.
Yeah, and you loved
eating
it.
All the stuff that people did not come pick
former
up.
Former Mendo employee.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was pretty good. And the tea was every day this was like pre-Postmates and stuff, but people would call in like big orders for probably for like studio stuff, like crafty stuff. Right. And they would never come pick it up. so we would just be able to
Papa
take
Papa would be like bringing
15
home the bacon.
Sandwiches home. It was so great. Mendocino Farms, we love you. Avocado quinoa. Thank you for the review and thanks for bringing up Mendocino Farms so we could talk about it. That review is pretty good.
I don't really want to think about GameStop.
No,
I'm
choosing
it.
To not think about.
This was when we were talking about GameStop. Talk about
it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the market.
Ago. Yeah, that would be the one thing. But you know,
please don't make me talk about the market today.
All right.
Please.
So now we're gonna do this. Now we're gonna do something that you have to do.
Okay.
And you don't have a choice.
Okay.
Maybe it's nice. No,
it's
is nice.
This but you been, have no choice.
This has been our episode with the iconic Bo and Yang. Hopefully part one of
because I got questions
spatially,
about
I need to be there. Yeah.
We need you to sit the ass on the couch. We need to sit the ass between betwixt
legs,
me
betwixt
me.
Oh wow. Yes.
And I need
yes. We love you. Thank you for coming on. And I just want to say I love you, Katie.
Wow.
Wow, Bowen, it's been a dream come true. And I love talking to everybody, and I love you, Josette.
Bowen, it has been lovely to have you. I know this is an audio format, so you, the listener, cannot see Bowen, but Bowen's looking absolutely radiant, and I have so many questions about his skincare routine. And hopefully we'll discuss that in the next episode that we inevitably do together. Thanks, everyone. And I love you, Naomi.
Oh, my God. And it's my turn?
So. Yeah, it's your turn.
Well, I was truly so thrilled and honored to be a guest. I hope there's more to come, although I'm not.
Please.
I really exercise so much restraint anytime I talk to you all because there's so many things that I want to say that it would be so tactless of me to say.
I want you to be absolutely tactless.
Not this big reveal at the end.
Well, I mean, the three of you have just been such a steady, like, what's the fucking word? Like, pontoon for me. Adrift on the seas of, like, the world's bullshit. Like, you guys have just, like, kept me afloat. So thank you so much. I love you all so dearly. And I love you, Bowen.
Yay! Yay. Yeah, yes. Good job. Yay! No, that was great.
Not the question mark.
No, you did well.
Thank you.
Next time, we're going to turn that into a statement, baby.
Okay. Period.
That's going to be an exclamation.
Yeah.
We love you so much. Thanks for doing this.
Gaiotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the band Muna, but mostly we're known as the famous podcasters from the podcast Gaiotic.
Our producer is Anya Kanevskaya.
And our associate producer is Ali Khan.
If you want to prove that you love us, feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever people review podcasts. We might even pick your review and talk about it if it's a really good and really nice one.
You can subscribe to Gaiotic on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
wherever you get your podcasts.
New episodes drop on Hump Day, Wednesday. One of the greatest days of the week, baby.
That's right. We do this regularly because we have fucking discipline.
You're listening to our voices right now, which sound pretty good. But guess what? The face cards don't decline either. So head over to our Instagram at whereismuna and like one of our photos. I mean, truly any dopamine hit we can get is helpful.
Meet you right back here next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.